CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. An Afghanistan old hand, many decades. However, I am what passes in America for a Vietnam old hand. I did not serve there, but I was a youth during the tragedy of Vietnam and the exit from Saigon, often used as an example of what could happen in Kabul. And now, of course, because of the power of video, the two sides are meshed together in the flight from the embassy and the flight from the airport. However, Anatole, in Vietnam, there was an American tragedy and an American defeat. For many decades, it rocked the military. It certainly rocked politics into the 70s and 80s. And with the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a sense that it had been one of the battles that defeated the Soviet Union. We shouldn't look at it specifically for an American defeat, which it was. Is it possible, with this comparison to Saigon, that 40 years from now, young men and women who are now my age when it was 1975 will see Afghanistan as a place that the U.S. can deal with, perhaps in the desk of, say, the Netherlands, you know, having a desk in the Netherlands embassy or however they're going to do it, and looking to develop a relationship with Afghanistan in the way that the U.S. is dealing with Vietnam today, a communist government. But we have conversations and we have a common adversary in China. Is that possible?
I think it's possible. Of course, I don't think that we will have a common adversary with the Taliban in the same way, except, well, perhaps ISIS, you know, maybe. Certainly I think that with time, as long as there isn't more international terrorism, of course, from Afghanistan, I think that, you know, the hostilities caused by this war will fade. I mean, of course, there are cultural reasons for hostility to the Taliban, above all when it comes to treatment of women, that didn't really exist with the, you know, with the Vietnamese communists. But, you know, on the other hand, as you say, I mean, there remain deep ideological divisions between America and the Vietnamese communists. So, yes, I mean, you know, as is said, time is a great healer. And I hope that with time, the present bitternesses will fade. On the other hand, of course, largely for American domestic reasons, America has kept up this absurd, frankly demeaning, hatred of Cuba for decades after the, you know, reasons for this disappeared. So there is also the possibility, of course, that America will essentially go on chewing this bone indefinitely, of resentment of the Taliban. And I hope that won't be the case.
Last thought, you mentioned terrorism, and these are unknowns. So I'm not asking for answers. I'm just observing that in Parliament, the debate again was about transnational terror. The Al-Qaeda operation is fog of war, but there are many anecdotes of linkages between the Taliban, the Haqqani network, and Al-Qaeda. You've mentioned ISIS. So ISIS and Al-Qaeda, are those two organizations likely to find a home in the new Afghanistan? We have a couple of minutes.
ISIS, no. I mean, there have been big battles between the Taliban and ISIS. The Taliban are, you know, they're rivals for power in Afghanistan. And Russia, China, Iran, Pakistan are all very afraid of ISIS, and so will back the Taliban against them. Now, Al-Qaeda, yes, as you say, they have close links to the Taliban in general. It could be, though, that, and the Taliban will not hand them over to America or anywhere else. It could be, however, that they may become like, you know, the al-Nusra in Syria and its affiliates, who are operating in areas controlled by Turkey. And Turkey is, you know, harbors them, uses them as local allies, but has not, and we certainly hope will not, allow them to conduct international terrorism. So perhaps Al-Qaeda, you know, will be allowed just to exist in Afghanistan without actually doing anything, at least doing anything internationally. I think that's our best hope.
What we have here is a lot of hope, Anatole. I think at this point, the caveat, Anatole and I are speaking without anything being clear about Kabul, about the government, about the larger country. We don't know Kandahar. We don't know Jalalabad. We don't know Herat. We don't know Mazar-e Sharif. We don't know the situation there. We don't know the changing nature of the U.S. presence in Afghanistan. There's said to be a resistance in the Panjshir Valley. The administration has even talked about over-the-horizon counterterrorism, which could mean air power similar to what we see in East Africa used against al-Qaeda elements. All of that is an unknown. But right now, Anatole, your last thoughts, 30 seconds. Is this worst case, or could you have imagined a worst case than what we're seeing now?
I can't imagine a much greater humiliation for NATO, and to some extent for the United States as well. But I suppose I can imagine a situation in which there would have been a terrible battle in Kabul, and the city would have been destroyed as it was in the 1990s, and tens of thousands of people would have died. After all, you know, for all that this has been so humiliating, we should be grateful that it has that if this fall had to come, that it was peaceful and, you know, that very few innocent people died as a result.
Anatole Levin, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, writing in several publications over these next days. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.